This is Len Edgerly with a Kindle Chronicles Extra from CES in Las Vegas on January 7, 2010. One of the booths that Darlene and I stopped by today was the InterRead booth. They are the makers of the Cooler Reader. And I first spoke with Aaron Mitchell, who was head of communications, and then had a chance to visit with the CEO, Neil Jones.
I'm Aaron Mitchell.
And so you're, what do you do here at the, for Cooler?
For Cooler, I do communications, but more importantly, I am the proud daughter of an English teacher. So.
You were telling me just across the counter there that books don't have dictionaries, so why should e-book readers have dictionaries?
And there's certainly an ease of use in terms of as you're reading and looking up a word, but I was raised with the idea that when the process of going and looking up a word actually helps you remember it and helps you learn it, rather than pushing a button, seeing it, and then, okay, now I get it, now I understand that sentence and moving on.
Interesting. So the actual work of hauling out the dictionary mm-hmm. helps to embed it into your memory.
There's been some research that would seem to indicate, so.
Well, the other thing that I notice is that there'll be words that I probably understand, but on the Kindle as an example.
Checking.
Yeah. I'm just getting a little bit deeper glance in because it's so easy to see it.
Right, right. And, I think it makes sense. It's sort of a user preference thing.
Now, will any of your models have dictionaries?
At some point in the future, they may. It's not off the cards by any stretch of the imagination. You know, a lot of people ask us about text-to-speech as well. Which is also on our product roadmap, but because we're a global product and intend to remain that way, text-to-speech is a little tricky because it needs to work not just in English.
I see. So you're picturing books in a lot of different languages.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, some of these companies like Nuance are all geared up to handle different languages, so it wouldn't be that tough to add the major ones, I suppose.
Well, I think it's, it really is sort of a matter of we launched as a global product and want to maintain that. Obviously, as the technology gets more complex, you add in the Wi-Fi, you add in 3G, it does get more complicated. But that's why we will always, every model that we produce, will always have the USB sideload facility as well.
Do you plan to have a 3G model eventually?
Yeah, we actually announced that a couple of months ago. We did it through a partnership with AT&T. It'll be around the mid-year. So.
What will be the price on that, do you know?
Pardon?
The price on that model?
We're not announcing any pricing right now.
Okay.
What we're saying is we are committed to keeping e-readers affordable for as many people as possible. So
your most inexpensive model is $199?
Right now, we only have one model on the market, and that's priced at $249. Now, we have, through our partnership with QVC, they did what's called a Today's Special Value and sold it for $229 with a number of accessories. So it's that, it becomes sort of a choice on the part of the retailer at that point.
Well, what if someone, Kindle's clearly the market leader at this point, when someone's thinking about Kindle versus another reader like yours, what do you emphasize as the advantages to choose a Cooler reader?
There are a couple of things. The first is that, my own personal bias, right? I read the same type of books as my husband. I do not want to have to buy two copies of every book that we read. We allow you to share books.
How does the sharing work?
Sharing works, you download a book, you can share it on up to 5 coolers. It's not a lending thing, there's no time limit on it. So it can exist simultaneously on 6 devices, the computer being one of them. You have to put it on the computer. So it can exist simultaneously forever on all of those devices.
Now that would be, sometimes the publishers limit how many devices. For example, on the Kindle, sometimes it's 5 devices or 6 devices. So you've got agreements with all the publishers that you're dealing with that they know if someone buys one of their books on a Cooler reader, it's going to be read by up to 6 people.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Are your prices for books, therefore, in generally higher than the Kindle prices?
Actually, no. our bestseller prices are higher because we subscribe to John Grisham's view that, you know, books, particularly new bestsellers, are worth money. We're never going to lose money on books. We don't see them as a loss leader. We see them as valuable. So we discount every book that we sell by 20%, 25% if you have a cooler. But what that means is from a list price of $25, we're not hitting $9.99.
So you're 20% off of the higher price?
Of the retail price, yeah. Yeah. Now, it's on a lot of the older books, we're actually less expensive than Amazon. So because, again, we're across the board, we're taking off the 20%. So whereas with Amazon, with certain books, they're actually selling them at the list price. So it sort of depends on the book. And to be honest, we've not been able to do sort of a global comparison.
Well, now, I'm confused on these ebook stores. There's a Kindle store that Amazon has. It's up over 400,000. And then there's a Sony store. Now, and the woman at the counter there was saying, do you actually have a store that has 1 million titles, not counting the Google Books titles?
That's right. That's right. What it is, actually, and you want to speak to the folks at the Overdrive booth as well, just here. You know, we work with a couple of different aggregators. So what they do is they gather up all the ebooks from all of the different publishers and sell them on. Obviously, Amazon is a closed model, so because, you know, they work directly with the publishers. So it's, but there's Overdrive, and there's another large one, and I apologize, the name is escaping me. But because we're working with both of them as well.
So there's almost like ebook wholesalers.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's the same, like, you know, the Sony store works with them as well. So
now, is Barnes & Noble using aggregators as well, or are they creating their own store like Amazon is?
No, I believe theirs is their own store. So they're, you know, they're making a real push into the ebook, obviously, area. You know, it's great to see what they're doing. I think that they, you know, certainly with the Nook, they were able to acknowledge the fact that people do share books. Unfortunately, it's the way that they did it, I find a little restrictive. It's better than not being able to do it at all, though. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are there some of the books that are available on the Cooler Reader because of Overdrive that might also be available on the Sony Reader because they're using the same wholesalers?
Yes, absolutely. And every book that we sell will also work on the Sony Reader.
Okay, so if I buy it from you, and I've got a Sony Reader, I can just switch it over to the Sony Reader on my computer?
Exactly, because the Sony Reader also uses Adobe Digital Editions. So it's sort of, that becomes, if you think of it like Adobe Digital Editions functions like iTunes. You know, if there were an iTunes where you could use both an iPod and, you know, other MP3 players, that sort of thing.
And are you set up for the public library lending through Overdrive?
We're actually not right now. That's something that we're looking very closely at. We're working with a number of schools, both in the UK and in the US, to give them books, so that they can, you know, share them with their students. And we're doing that as, you know, for two reasons. The first is to get feedback from younger readers. The second is that we're hoping there's a lot of data that indicates that boys, particularly between the ages of 8 and 12, tend to stop reading. Not quite sure why, but there you go. So our hope is that we'll be able to gather some data that indicates that particular, you know, boys between 8 and 12 particularly, are more inclined to continue reading with an e-reader.
Yeah, they like that techno aspect.
Yeah, that's it.
So you're actually giving Cooler Readers to schools to try this out?
Yes, yeah.
How many schools, how many books are involved?
Right now we've got three schools in the UK and two in the US, so that's a program that we're looking to expand in the very near future.
Now, retail outlets are you using in the US?
Right now, just QVC. We're going to have some announcements about that very soon, though. So.
And you can buy them online, I take it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you been with the company right from the start?
Not from the very beginning. So it took me a little while to get. I was a you'll pry this book from my cold dead hands sort of a girl.
What was your epiphany? How did you change and become an evangelist?
You know, it's funny. It took me three books. I had to read three books before, and it was partially that I read in bed a lot, and it's really easy to hold any reader. I can hold it with one hand. I can, you know, it doesn't, like, it's simpler. It also, there were, you know, it was sort of, I had to get used to it, and I had to sort of let go of my, somehow I'm being disloyal to books, so.
Do you still feel a little guilt?
I actually don't anymore. I hung on to it for a while, but.
Why not? How did you get rid of the guilt? Because I feel a similar feeling in the path from being a lover of books, and I'm an MFA and the whole thing. And all of a sudden you wake up and you're on the other side.
It's you know, a lot of it was talking to authors. We've got, you know, we had Tess Gerritsen here today, and we've Jason Pinter here tomorrow. And, you know, Jason particularly has been, it's been very interesting because he started out very skeptical of ebooks and sort of had a much more old school publishing view and has really come to understand. He's really embraced a lot of social media. He's very active on Twitter. And he's a great example of someone who has, you know, has embraced this idea of, look, you know, my books can be available through different venues, that sort of thing. And Alifair Burke is another one. She's James Lee Burke's daughter, and you know, amazing author in her own right. And again, she too, she blogs, she's on Twitter, and she's a real proponent of ebooks and understands as well that there is, you know, just in terms of the marketing of books, there is a real opportunity to introduce new readers to authors through ebooks, and thereby build their fan base and their sales over the long term, because it's an author's brand is something that lasts for decades. So it's so that really, you know, in talking to them, because ultimately I never felt a lot of loyalty to publishers, but to authors I do. So
yeah, and this really goes to the benefit of the authors if it gets going.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Kindle has had a couple of short stories that they've sold for, I think, $3.99 through the Atlantic, giving fiction writers a chance at an outlet that they, you know, too long for a short story in the magazine, too short for a novel. Have you got any kind of experimental work with authors on the horizon where you would be giving them essentially a new platform to write for?
Yeah, we're actually going to be announcing what amounts to a publishing platform in the very near future, like as very near as in, you know, within the next several weeks. So we've got a site up at the moment at coolerwriting.com, which is all you can do right now is enter your email address to find out more. But the idea, you know, the genesis of the company, and certainly I would recommend asking Neil about this, you know, he in essence wrote a book, tried to get it published, found out it was very difficult. So it's the idea here is that we want to create as well an opportunity for people to publish their work. Because if you look at the numbers, the chances are good that there are a lot of decent authors out there who simply aren't published. So, you know, finding some of those folks. And, you know, because for avid readers, what we tend to do is we tend to, you know, find an author we like, read everything he or she's ever written, and then we got to wait for the next one, right? So.
That's great. Well, that might be good to talk to Neil about when I come back at 4 then.
And a little later, here is my conversation with Neil Jones, the CEO of InterRead.
So I spoke with Aaron, got some good information about the company and what you're doing. The thing that interested me was she said that you are an author yourself, and you got into this somewhat from the point of view of an author finding audience through ebooks.
Yeah, it's where the whole journey began.
Tell me about it.
Okay. Way back about 18 months ago, I left the previous business that I sold to an American corporation, and I decided to write a novel. I had a great idea, started to write it, went to get it published. Nowadays, you have to go via a literary agent. You can't go direct to publishers. And the most interesting thing was, I had a response from a UK literary agent who said, we really loved what you did. We love the book. We love the concept. But we only take on 2 to 3 authors a year. We have 300 submissions a week. So they receive 15,000 submissions a year and only take on 3 authors. Now, this is just when we're starting to see the Kindle come on board, the Sony Reader. So I worked out, is there a way which we could deliver a publishing solution that was cost-effective and professional and launch an e-publishing house? The follow-on from that is you've got to sell the book somewhere, so let's have an e-book store. And in January last year, just under a year ago, just as we're bringing these ideas closer to fruition, I decided that we'd actually build our own e-reader. And that's when the Cooler was created. And 14th of January was the birth date of the idea. On the 12th of May, we launched the first press tour. And we had the official launch of the product on 29th of May. So in roughly 4 months, we'd gone from start to finish. In 5 months, we were shipping.
Now, Aaron said that you're also about to announce something similar to the digital text platform that Amazon has, where people can publish their own works for the Cooler Reader.
Yeah, we're going to be launching Cooler Writing in February, which was the first idea. And the first book hopefully will be mine, which I should have finished by then. But the most interesting thing, Len, is that we see it as being something totally different from the way Amazon are dealing with digital text. We're looking at a shared commitment publishing that means that you earn more money back than you would get via Amazon. And it also means that we'll be taking the books and selling them not just at Cooler Books, which is the largest ebook store in the world by some way at over 2 million ebooks available, but we'll be selling them via a whole host of other ebook stores as well. So, yeah, we're not just going down a walled garden approach. We'll be leaving an openness and freedom so that if someone has the misfortune of owning Sony, they can still read a Cooler book from coolerbooks.com, or they can read a book someone's published on Cooler Writing.
Now, I think that the split with Amazon is 35% goes with the author. If you publish through the digital text platform, you'll give the author a higher percent. Can you say what it'll be?
Correct. More than that.
More than that.
We believe it's partnership, and so partnership means closer to 50-50.
And will the procedure for uploading a book be pretty simple? If you've got it in a doc file, you just publish it online
basically,
somehow?
What we'll be doing is offering conversion process as part of the deal. So we'll be taking things like simple Word documents and assisting conversion into an EPUB format and delivering it in a secure basis.
Now, the number of titles, about a million of those that you count to your 2 million would be the Google Books?
Yep, that's correct.
And then of the rest, are some working through wholesalers like Overdrive, or where you're sort of...
Yeah, we're using a range of different aggregators in different countries to deliver content. And we'll be taking publishers direct via Cooler Writing. So if there's a small publisher that doesn't e-publish at the moment, we'll deal with them on Cooler Writing. We'll take all of their titles, convert them for them, and put them into the aggregators' loops via our relationships that we have.
So the difference is... Amazon is the only one that is creating an online store by dealing directly with the publishers themselves. Most everyone else here, Sony Reader and you all, are dealing with wholesalers, essentially.
Yeah, but the reason is obviously the closed garden approach and the anti-competitive, antitrust approach that Amazon have brought forward into the market. I'm just very surprised there hasn't been an antitrust suit yet, because not allowing your platform to be developed upon and being anti-competitive when you've got, in the USA, over 50% market share is a clear antitrust target.
How would that compare with Apple's situation in the iTunes Store?
Because now you look at a very open platform situation with regard to, with iTunes, un-DRM'd MP3s can be listened to on a whole host of different devices. So, yeah, very much they move towards a more open framework with regard to content. So we believe in providing the widest array of content to the widest array of devices and incentivizing such that people with coolers buy content cheaper, but we're not going to operate a closed garden situation because we don't believe that that's morally correct.
So is your mission related to the fact you got into this as an author, or is it a business mission, or what's sort of driving you?
This is a business. we're the number three in the world now in terms of e-reader sales. We have got November, December, we estimate our market share was somewhere in the region of about 22%.
Really? So how many units did you sell in those 2 months?
A very significant amount within my total figure. So as well, our competitors, we won't really reveal exactly how many we sold, but I'm sure you're aware that we had a TSV, a Today Special Value on QVC on the 11th of December, where we sold many thousand units and sold them out by 7 o'clock in the evening.
So the Forrester numbers that I heard had Amazon at about 60% of the market with 3 million sales in the U.S. How would you split the market up now? Is Amazon still 60 and you're taking share away from Sony mainly?
We look at it as a worldwide market because we deliver a multilingual reader that can be used anywhere in the world. So, you're looking at very U.S.-centric figures that were produced in Sarah Rotman Epps' report. And, we were a big contributor to a lot of the information because we talk very freely to analysts. We don't think it's some great big corporate secret. And we like talking openly, honestly, about issues.
Well, why aren't you saying what your sales numbers are then?
Because those are going to be revealed when we produce our annual accounts.
Oh, I see. So at that time you do, it's just a matter of...
We only sell e-books and e-readers. So it's going to be quite obvious how many units we've sold.
Whereas with Amazon, they can hide the Kindle numbers because there's so much else they sell.
And they're probably making losses on the hardware and on the books.
You think on both?
Yeah. Certainly significantly on the best-selling books. They're making losses of between $5, $6 a time. And that's not sustainable and that's not honest.
What do you make of the traditional publishers delaying release of some of the major ebook titles like Stephen King said?
I'm not surprised because of the way that Amazon have been pricing in particular. If you look at a new title that's released as if it was released in hardback, one of Tess's works, for example, what we're looking at is something that would retail at $28, for example. And there's a whole lot of process that goes into producing the book. We think there's value in that. And to discount and sell at a loss, to try to buy market share, we don't think is honest or appropriate. We've only got to see what happened in May when I was on stage at Book Expo and Mr. Bezos was being interviewed at a shareholder conference. Where he finally admitted that Kindle was in investment phase, i.e. it was losing money. Also, the interesting factor that we saw at the same time was on that day, the Wall Street Journal subscription on the Kindle went up from $9.99 to $14.99 a month. And for the privilege of loading your own PDF documents onto your Kindle, the price went up from 15 cents to 20 cents. Now...
Well, no, it's still 15 cents a meg, isn't it?
No, I believe 20 cents is the figure I've heard.
Well, there was an increase from 5 to 15, I think.
Okay. But, we don't charge anyone for loading their own business documents onto a cooler. You just sideload it on USB. Because, after all, it's your documents. You should have the privilege of carrying them with you wherever you want to. And for my press briefings, typically I carry my own business documents on there in PDF format. So Aaron and the team briefed me. And that means I can update my press briefings as I go, or any other business documents.
I'm fascinated to see the number of ebook exhibitors here. It looks like 20 or 30 separate providers. Amazon is the market leader at this point. Sony is strong. What does this look like to you 5 or 10 years out when maybe half of the people are reading on ebooks as opposed to 5% or whatever the number is now? A large field or dominated by just a few players?
I think there'll be a few dominant players. The interesting thing for me has been to see the launch of some of the other players in the market. Samsung coming in with an e-reader at $399, which is equal in functionality to a cooler at $249. Or even less if you bought it from QVC, $229 plus case and headphones. Just because it's got a brand name on it, doesn't seem to fly. And I think it's because we're a bit different. When we're looking around here today, there's an awful number of very large readers around. People putting on keyboards, people putting on huge levels of excess functionality. Because what readers want is lightweight, portable, font accessible, and have an open platform, they can buy the books from wherever they want. We hope that they'll buy them from us because Cooler Books is the largest ebook store in the world. And we always offer consistent value at 25% discount off list price if you're in a cooler. But it's almost like we're hopefully we're the only sane people in a world gone mad, that our new compact model is even lighter than the original cooler classic and has more memory built into it, more flexibility, and yeah, is even more portable and easier to use. So from our point of view, we seem to be seeing for mass acceptance, you need to be delivering affordable, accessible, easy to use, lightweight, stylish devices.
What about the Apple tablet? Do you see that affecting your business at all?
Not really, because I think the price point is going to be around about $799, roughly. Maybe more, maybe less. So I don't think it plays in the same market sphere. When I see some of the other e-readers being sold in large format letter size for $460, $599, $799, I personally don't think they'll fly, because I can read with Adobe Digital Editions on my Mac perfectly well. If I chose to go that route with 7 hours worth of battery life, and yeah, it's lighter than some of these monsters that are around. So why would I not spend $200 more on getting something like a Mac, a MacBook Pro, or whatever? Or if the Mac device comes in, the new Mac tablet, great. But I don't think it's going to be anywhere near in the realms of an e-reader such as a cooler for recreational reading and portability.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and I noticed the difference, just the weight of the Kindle versus the weight of your cooler reader. It's probably several ounces difference, but it feels like a big difference.
It's one of those things. Compared to a Kindle without any casing, we come in at approximately 55% of the weight, so we're 45% lighter. With the classic cooler, we're even lighter with the compact, so we're half the weight. It'll fit inside a jacket pocket. And, you know, the Kindle's a great device, don't get me wrong. But when I was doing my press tour, a very eminent lady journalist said to me, yeah, she's quite a petite lady, the problem with reading a Kindle is like reading a large restaurant menu. And it's true. Yeah, you want to be able to read with one hand. Steve, my managing director here, who runs the UK side of the business, his wife was on holiday when we were doing the launch, sitting there in Mexico, cocktail in her left hand, cooler in her right hand, clicking away in the sun. And you can read one-handed. And that, for me, is the beauty of the whole approach that we have. It's about making reading accessible. Most of all, it's about making reading cool.
In Boston, I heard you speak, and you gave a pretty lively demonstration, kind of David and Goliath. In the implication of that story, do you aspire to knocking Kindle off to be the dominant ebook reader, or what's the story tell?
From my point of view, I believe that we'll be the number two player worldwide by the end of this year. I believe we'll be the number two player in the USA behind Amazon. We'll be the number one in the UK and Europe, and we'll be the number one in the rest of the world.
This is by the end of the year?
Yeah.
And beyond that?
Beyond that, I think we should take number one position in 2011 here, because I think we understand what readers want.
How, if Amazon were to enable EPUB format on their device, does that change everything in terms of the ability to position the cooler reader and some of the others as we are the open ones and they're the closed one?
Yeah. I think you have to be in the open format. Yeah, we've got to have the flexibility that we don't tie you to a store. I don't think it's morally right.
You think they will make that change? If you were Jeff Bezos, what would you do?
If I was Jeff Bezos, I would not have launched a closed garden situation in the first place. I'd have gone for openness straight off. And with the marketing strength of Amazon, I think I'd have produced something like the cooler. But thank goodness, Jeff Bezos isn't me.
Gave you a chance to be you.
He gave me a chance to be me. And I think we're looking at 2010 being the e-reader year. I predicted that December 2009 would be e-reader Christmas, and it certainly was. And now from our point of view, we think going forwards, 2010 is the year that the e-reader takes prominence. And as the first e-reader actually designed by readers for readers, that puts us apart from the competition.